Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Akums Drugs and Pharmaceuticals Limited Q2 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Ambit Capital Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Pranav Chawla from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nirav. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Ambit Capital, I would like to welcome you all to the 2Q FY26 earnings conference call for Akums Drugs and Pharmaceuticals Limited. Joining us today from the management, we have Mr. Sandeep Jain, MD, Mr. Sumeet Sood, CFO, Mr. Sahil Maheshwari, Head of Strategy. I thank the management for providing us the opportunity to host this earnings call. I would now hand over the call to Mr. Ankit Jain for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, Ankit.
Thank you, Pranav, for the introduction. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Akums Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings call. I am Ankit Jain, and I head investor relations at Akums Drugs and Pharmaceuticals Limited. I will commence with a standard disclaimer that any discussion on today's call might include certain forward-looking statements, which are predictions or projections of future events. Our business faces several risks and uncertainties that could cause our actual results to differ materially from what is expressed or implied in such statements. At Akums, we do not undertake any obligation to publicly update any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new confirmation, future events, or otherwise. I hope you would have had the opportunity to review our investor presentation and financial results that we posted yesterday evening. I would now like to hand it over to our Managing Director, Mr. Sandeep Jain, to discuss our performance. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ankit, and welcome everyone to our Q2 FY26 earnings call. I would like to begin by sharing news of the new partnership with the Government of the Republic of Zambia. We entered into a joint venture with the Zambian government to set up a manufacturing plant in Zambia. Akums will hold 51% in the JV. The facility will be located in the capital city of Lusaka and is expected to commence production in CY2028. This will be a multi-dosage facility across tablets, capsules, topical, liquid, injectables, etc., and will cater to the growing need of antibacterials, cardiac, diabetes, CNS, gastro, ortho, gynecology, and other therapies in the region. The total project cost will be approximately $45 million, where Akums will invest in the form of both capital and product technology as well. Additionally, we envisage supplying medicines of aggregate value of $50 million from our Indian facilities to Zambia over the next 2 years. With Zambia's pharma market expected to grow to over $300 million by 2030, we expect this partnership to drive Akums' long-term growth as well as improve accessibility of essential medicines in Zambia as well as neighboring African countries. On the European front, our European CDMO contract is progressing as per plans. We underwent a European GMP audit for our plant 2 in October and are expected to get the approval in Q4 of this year. During Q2, we achieved another milestone by dispatching our first commercial supply of dapagliflozin tablet to Switzerland. Rivaroxaban tablet supply to Europe is also expected during Q3. Our pipeline for Europe remains healthy over 10+ dossiers in API, as well as we filed CEP for ceftriaxone, axetilimab, and cefprodoxime, proxetil in Europe. Coming to the performance during Q2 FY26, while our revenue remained flat, margins saw a dip as API prices continued their downward trend. The downward spiral of API prices continues to be broad-based across all categories of APIs. For our top 200 APIs, there was a year-on-year drop of around 8%. Our CDMO business witnessed a healthy volume growth of over 7%, even though the IPM volume growth was flat. Margins, however, also saw a dip due to slower-than-expected ramp-up of our new facilities and higher overheads. Our domestic branded formulations business is steadily gaining scale with focus on gynecology, cardiodiabetes, and pediatrics. While growing in Q2 was modest, we remain focused on improving coverage with portfolio margins too were robust at 21.6%. With multiple strategic initiatives underway, we expect the segment to continue on growth path backed by improved primary sales and a strong portfolio. The international branded business impacted by seasonal factors is expected to have a strong H2 led by demand from our focus market. In the API business, we continue to focus on a higher gross margin portfolio and cost optimization initiatives. However, continued downtrend in API prices impacted the margin during the quarter. We continue to aggressively work on turning around our API business. We have filed 2 CEPs in Europe and are on track to file 1 more CEP dossier this fiscal. The consolidation in the trade generic segment continues as we make efforts to reduce losses. Let me now turn your attention to our operating and financial performance. We saw a year-on-year revenue decline of 1.5% during Q2 FY26. During Q2 FY26, CDMO achieved a revenue of INR 804 crores with year-on-year growth of 0.7%. Domestic branded formulations revenue grew at 5.3% year-on-year to rupees 122 crores. International branded formulation declined 14.3% year-on-year to rupees 22 crores. Operating EBITDA declined 22% year-on-year due to operating deleverage. While the performance during Q2 was below our expectation, we remain focused on delivering long-term stakeholders value. By further cementing our leadership position in CDMO business, taking measures to grow our domestic and export branded business, and curtailing losses in API and trade generics. Our long-term growth prospects remain strong with our newly formed Zambia JV as well as targeted efforts in the European markets. Additionally, our robust cash flow during H1 have further augmented our net cash position to over INR 1,600 crores. This gives us leverage to pursue both organic as well as inorganic growth opportunities. Before I hand over to the CFO, Mr. Sumit Sood, I understand that the current financial results may raise apprehensions about near-term earnings, but I want to reassure you that our business remains strong and resilient. We are currently operating in a dynamic environment, but we have built a robust business model to tap growing opportunities in the Indian pharma market. Our strategy is to extensively work on the identified growth drivers, including strategic partnership, innovation, operational and cost efficiencies. We are confident that these initiatives will drive sustainable growth in the coming year. Thank you for your continued trust and support. Over to Mr. Sumit Sood for the financials. Mr. Sumit Sood.
Thank you, Sandeep Ji, for the detailed explanation. Good afternoon, everyone. I will now take you through the financial highlights for the quarter ended 30th September 25. The revenue stood, consolidated revenue stood at 1,018 crores. It is a decline of 1.5% year-on-year and a decrease of 0.6% quarter-on-quarter. Total reported EBITDA was 94 crores, a decline of 22% year-on-year. Which was almost 121 crores and a decline of 26.7% quarter-on-quarter, which was 129 crores. Margins were 9.3%, which declined from an 11.7% of Q2 FY25. And in Q1 FY26, they were 12.6%. The margins were largely driven lower margins were driven because of the CDMO segment and more losses that got posted in our API division. EBITDA with other income stood at 127 crores compared to 135 crores year-on-year, and quarter-on-quarter it was at 156 crores. EBITDA margins were at 12.1%. compared to Q2, 12.9%, and quarter-on-quarter FY26, 14.8%. The impact is seen in the PAT also, which stood at 43 crores compared to 67 crores year-on-year and 65 crores quarter-on-quarter. Now, if we come down to business-wise, the CDMO, the branded formulation, exports and trade generics, and API. For the CDMO, the revenue stood at 804 crores, a slight increase from 799 crores compared to the earlier quarter, and a decrease of 1.1% quarter-on-quarter. The revenue growth remains modest due to decline in API prices. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 84 crores, a decrease of 31.3% year-on-year, and a decrease of 29.4% quarter-on-quarter. Largely, the margins remained impacted because of a flattish revenue that we saw in the business, while the volumes were at 7%, as explained by the MD. For the domestic branded formulation, the revenue stood at 122 crores, an increase of 5.3% year-on-year, and an increase of 13.5% quarter-on-quarter. EBITDA for the quarter was 26 crores, an increase of 28.2% year-on-year, and an increase of 66.5% quarter-on-quarter. If we look at the international business, the revenue stood at 22 crores, a decline of 14% year-on-year, and a decrease of 36% quarter-on-quarter. This revenue was largely impacted by seasonality issue and is expected to be strong in the next half year. EBITDA for the quarter was 5.5 crores, an increase of 52% year-on-year, and a decrease of 31.8% quarter-on-quarter. API revenue stood at 44 crore. This was a decrease from year-on-year 59 crores, and a decline of 1.3% quarter-on-quarter. As we had mentioned earlier, that we are focusing on molecules which have relatively high margins, so we think that by the year-end, our EBITDA would be better than how it is showing. So the EBITDA for the quarter was negative 14 crores. It was very similar to Q2 FY25. But this has been, you know, something which by the year end we should be better based on our cost optimization, and we expect the full year losses to be lower than last year. Trade generic, the revenue stood at 24 crores, a decrease of 26.2%, and an increase of 5.3% quarter on quarter. EBITDA, if you look at for the quarter, was negative 3% compared to FY25 quarter, which was minus 6, and Q1 of FY26 stood at minus 5%. So as the MD mentioned, that there is a focus on trade generic business consolidation. Our balance sheet continues to be healthy with cash surplus of 1,649 crores. The free cash flow for H1 was 1,044 crores, driven by the part consideration received from the CDMO contract. Excluding the past consideration, the free cash flow was 90 crores with a robust operating cash flow to EBITDA at an 88.88%. This concludes the financial highlights for the quarter. We would now request the moderator to open the forum for the question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Abdul Kadal Puranwala from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is with regards to the development on the export side of the business. So firstly, on Europe, could you highlight to us, you know, what are the developments there? Are we extending, you know, the contract beyond what was previously announced, because I think now we are talking about two or three more plants getting EU GMP certified. So is there an increase or you know, with the existing plant or some new plants are getting added up here?
Sure, Abdul. So hi, this is Sahil. I'll address this. So you'll have to split this into two things. One is the export contract for CDMO Europe that we announced, right? That is for an oral liquid formulation, which is plant 2, which we briefed earlier, got EU GMP inspected in October of this year, right? Eventually, this will we'll get the approval, we'll file the dossiers, get the approvals, and we are on track to start the commercial supplies in the around March and April of 2027. Right, moving to other side of the export business in Europe, which we are planning, this is dossiers which we'll file from multiple plants, which we will either self-market it or out-license a few dossiers in certain markets based on the market strategy and our field positioning, right? So these are the dossiers, approximately 10 dossiers that Sandeep sir mentioned in his opening remarks. So two of them, dapagliflozin and rivaroxaban, will commercial supply in Q3. There are 8 to 10 other dossiers in pipeline which are across multiple dosage forms, product types that we will subsequently launch over the next 2 to 2.5 years. So Abdul, these are the two things, and hence multiple plants, because what we see is there is an increased opportunity as in hormones, beta-lactams, and obviously injectables and oral solids, which we already have. So this is broadly how we look at the European business.
Got it. Thanks for that. And Sahil, so any relook on, you know, how the API business growth will pan out, say, for next year? And in terms of the margins, how should we now look at for this particular segment with the Europe now coming in place?
So API, our API business, right? You're talking about APIs in general or our specific API business?
No, your API business, now that you know, you started supplies to Europe, so...
Sure, yeah. I'll address it. So as you rightly mentioned, so we have filed two CEPs, Proxetil and Exetil, in the cephalosporin space, for which we should get an approval in the next 6 months, right? So we'll start seeding formulations in those markets, and subsequently, we expect this business to be of higher gross margins in the Europe. Right, as Sumitji also mentioned, that while the initial half of the year saw an EBITDA drain of over 20 crores, we expect that it will not be a similar amount in H2. We should have some optimizations both on the gross margins as well as our operating expenses there. Once we limit it, honestly, the whole point is on gross margins in the cephalosporin business. If I really talk on the gross margins in FY25, we had a gross margin of 12.8% in the API business. With the continued downward trend of the largely cephalosporin business in Q2, the gross margins of the business were only 9.3%. So this is what is driving the majority of the losses, right? If we look at the employee expenses, we have done an annualized savings of almost 7 crores. We have done almost an 11-12 crores annualized savings on the manpower, on the manufacturing expenses. So all of those optimization initiatives are in place. While the gross margins in business remain high at 91%, we expect that the cephalosporin prices will gradually move up, as well as the European business will start contributing in our gross margins. So while this is broadly, and we are positive about how this will plan out, but really saying when we'll be month on month positive, I think we are still 6-7 months away.
Got it. And just on the Zambia project, so the supply starts from next fiscal. And on the P&L, then how do you record this? Would this be a part of your India CDMO business, or would this get plugged under exports, international?
So we'll call out when we do the explicit things, Abdul. But how do I look at is our marketing business, our own brands, right? In the Zambia, we'll participate in the government tenders and the government essential medicine supply. So those are usually non-branded, right? So this will be part of our CDMO. And as the European contract will also come into play, we'll likely have CDMO split by domestic and global. So that's how we might come up, but a detailed version of how do we split our financials, we'll let you know once we do it. But largely, this will be a part of contract development and manufacturing.
Sure, sure. So, I mean, you know, with the start of this project, I think you guys would have almost 12.5% of market share in Zambia. So, apart from this 25 million contract, is there any scope to increase this, you know, with the government once your plant comes up in place?
So once the plant comes up in place, then obviously we'll have a local preference because the local manufacturers will get a upper hand into tender bidding, right? But for the initial 2 years, which is 26 and 27 calendar years, we would have 50 million as a cumulative amount, 25 each million dollars. I don't think there is much scope to go beyond this. But once we launch our facilities, I think over the next 3-4 years, once we start commercialization, the opportunity is almost $250 million of the medicines that this plant can serve. If we even take a 25% share, that still remains a good market opportunity.
Got it, got it. And just final one from my end. Any guidance you would like to provide for FY26 for the CDMO and the overall business on the revenue as well as margin side?
Sure, Abdul. So, I'll first like to address business by business, and then we can come to a cumulative guidance. I think that will be more useful for you. So first, if I talk about, we mentioned API, right? That is something we discussed. UnoSource, as we said, H1 was seasonally weak in major countries in Philippines, Uganda, Nigeria, which are our prime markets. We saw a dip in the revenues, largely driven by limited orders. Some had election years, some had another seasonal variations. But H2, given this is a make-to-order, we don't keep inventory in UnoSource. Right, we manufacture and we ship it. The order book in Q3 remains good, and order book in Q4 also remains good. Right, so we expect this to bounce back in H2. Acumentis will continue its steady growth as it has shown in H1. Trade generics, we expect a similar kind of losses. I think more of it is through provisions that we are taking of the last couple of years, whatever inventory and debtors are there. But we remain resolute that over the end of this year, we will either take a provision or only continue ones which are profit generating, right? So that is there. Coming to CDMO, I think one thing that we'll have to address is why the CDMO margins fell so sharply, right? So if we really look at it, what went haywire is if you look at the gross margins in this business, in FY25, we had a gross margin of 37.1% in the CDMO business. If I look at just the Q2 where the margins were low, the gross margins are still at 37.6. So we have improved our gross margins from the last year, right? The volumes have also gone up. You saw in the presentation, they are up almost 4% the H1 and 7% just in the Q2, right? So, honestly, what's there in our hands is how do I expand my product basket through better gross margin products and through volumes, right? So this is something we are continuously working on and are seeing an improvement. The challenge remains is the API downwards trend that continues, right? So since it's a cost-plus model, we charge a percent on the API and our input costs, right? But then there is a factory overhead, a manufacturing, batch manufacturing expenses, fixed overheads that we'll have to account for, right? So that is honestly what is leading down to this lower EBITDA margins. But given there are some improvement cost efficiency measures which are taking up, there are some pockets of APIs which we now think have stabilized, and there is continuous investment into product mix. I think the rest of, given the Q1 was good, the Q2 was underperforming, I think blended rates, I think H2 should largely be similar as H1 as an overall year. Given obviously the current market dynamics, while it remains for the Q3 as well, we are seeing a decent volume growth. Some pockets, as I said, of APIs have started stabilizing, which looks in control, I think. But once we see the rest of the year, I think the H2 should largely mimic the H1.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Ankit Manocha from ADZ Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good afternoon. Just an extension of what you were talking about before, just on the very disappointing EBITDA margin for Q2. If I look at the EBITDA margin, the margin has gone down by 13% to 9%. That's almost like a 30 to 40% drop. Versus when you talk about API pricing, I think you mentioned earlier that the API pricing was down 8% for the entire basket. So to be honest, this correlation is not making full sense. I mean, it does not necessarily seem that it's only because of the API pricing and the cost overheads that this margin is kind of dipping so sharply. So what is actually, what are the reasons which are driving this? Also, if you look at your peers, smaller peers with 20% of your market, they are reporting slight margin expansion. So this is very surprising, and I just wanted to understand what is the trajectory also on H2 that you're seeing here, because currently this number looks very disappointing.
Certainly. So, as I said, so API prices, so usually in our cost sheets, API prices are 50% of our input, of our transfer prices, right? So if the API prices go down by 8%, it's a direct 4% impact on my top line and equal impact on my EBITDA margins, because these are simple erosion. So that is one which is driving it. The second point, as you also mentioned, is the fixed overheads. If I look at my three recent plants which got operationalized, right, on an H1 basis, they had an EBITDA impact of almost 17 crores, right? These are the plants which are getting approvals from regulatory, getting client audits, we are filing product permission from those facilities, right? So the newer injectable facilities, so these are ramping up, right? This essentially, I lose a chunk of my EBITDA percent on operationalization of new expenses, which is a part of the growth that we'll see from these facilities as we move into further quarters. And as I mentioned, 8% dip is almost 4% hit on our EBITDA margins. So this is what is driving. If you look at the other costs, if you look at employee expenses, while I said we have commercialized new plants, from last year to this year, our employee costs in the CDMO have grown only by 8%, right? While we have also institutionalized three new injectable facilities and also started blocks in the Baddi plant, right? So other expenses remain in control. Gross margins, as I said, have improved by 0.5% from 37.1% in FY25 to 37.6% in just the Q2 of it. Q1 was even better at 39%. Right, so everything remains positive. I think the hit we are taking is the model itself, which is a cost-plus model, which the whole industry operates in. Coming to your second question on the impact not visible on other CDMO players, I think fair, while we are continuously monitoring our gross margins, which continue to do better than our peers, I think there are cost efficiencies we can build in our rest of the expenses as well as there is investment into R&D and operationalization of new plants that is taking a hit. Given these will improve, and as I said, the product basket should get stabilized with the downward trend of APIs, we should, as the H1 margins are approximately 12%, so we should have similar margins in the H2.
Okay, sure. Thanks. So that had some clarity. My second question was with regard to capacity. So currently, if I was looking at last time's investor presentation, I believe the capacity utilization that you kind of mentioned was below sub 40% capacity utilization across the business. Whereas even in the last cons call, we were talking about more CapEx. And currently also, I believe, like we were just discussing, CapExes are kind of going through. I mean, so what is the rationale to kind of continue to build capacity without utilizing all bits of existing capacity? And secondly, what are the efforts, not only on the manufacturing end, but also on the front end, to kind of increase this capacity utilization? Because till this is kind of at this level, I mean, the return on capital for the business will remain subpar. So, yeah, I just wanted your thoughts on that.
Sure. So I'll address into the three parts. One is what maximum capacity utilization can we do, right? So so while you rightly said we do at 40%, I think given the changeovers, the large number of SKUs, the maintenance, preventive maintenance, the overall equipment utilization can go up to 55% in most of the dosage forms, right? So this is an extra spare capacity that we currently hold, right? The front end efforts are largely seen in the volume growth that we do with an expansion in the gross margins as well, right? So the efforts are on with better products, better reachability to the clients. I think more penetration. I think most of the clients in the Indian domain, we currently work with over 1500 customers, right? So now it's a matter of how do we go deeper with each client. So that is a continuous process. I think the second thing is also on Schedule M and its enforcement. We are very hopeful that this will result into shift in business to quality conscious manufacturers. I think this is a spare capacity which will come handy once we see that kind of traction growth as well. You would have read some articles around the government asking monthly reports from states and so on and so forth, right? So this will come handy, right? So it's a chicken and egg story that what comes first, either the demand or the capacity. Right, while we are mindful of the capex, this is an additional capex in the dosage forms. Where we have done capex, to your question, is we are only doing capex in dosage forms which either are fully utilized with us or we see we are not present and there is a market growth. So these are largely the kind of capex that we do. On the annual capex we have done, I'll request the CFO to address it.
So, thank you, Sahil. So, you know, You have a fair question. We are very mindful of our capex. Most of our capex is going in Akums in the R&D and the European contract that we are doing. If you've heard the latest announcement on GST, in our earlier years we were looking at setting up a plant in Jammu. So there was a capex that we were doing. Given the legislation change, that is on hold. So there is a mindful investment in the capex. It's being future ready, and also being mindful of, you know, the fixed assets that the company needs to.
Okay, and just an extension to that, when you mentioned 55% earlier, so if you will be operating at 55% capacity, would that be peak capacity for you?
55 is the peak, so we are operating at 40. So we report our total operational capacity that we can reach, right, of which 55 is the operational capacity, broadly. And we are currently at 40. So once I hit a number, as I explained in our earlier calls, if we hit a number of, let's say, 50 with any dosage forms, we'll have to start thinking of a new line. So this varies largely. 50-55 is what oral solids can do because there are more number of changeover, smaller batches. In injectables and oral liquids, we can go up to 60-65% as well. So it depends on dosage form, but given largely India is a oral solids market and over 90% of our unit production is oral solids, largely 55% is an estimate which peak capacity utilization this can produce. So if I have to reverse and flip this question on what maximum revenue can we do from the existing facilities, right? So if I do this set of revenue from a 40% utilization, we can simply do a basic unitary match to arrive at what is the revenue I can do at 55, which is the peak from the current assets.
Understood. And on the front end sales part of it, I mean, could you help us with a little bit of a brief overview of what your sales team looks like currently? And I mean, how much of the sales is driven by management versus a professional sales team, and what's the structure like?
Sure. So we follow a CAM-based model, a key account manager-based model, right, wherein we have almost 100-plus people in our sales team. They have dedicated roles across new business development, business continuation and support. Right, there are technical experts, there are commercial experts in the team. Right, so that's a mix of the team. If we say 1500 customers across 100 odd plus people, that is usually every person on an average has a 15-20 clients, right? And then there are people devoted to new business across newer queries. So this is how it looks like. Spread between management, I think this is entirely driven by the sales team. which day in, day out talks to the customers, understands their new product requirements, where we can partner with them in the pipeline projects, which are the cost efficiency projects which we have mastered, which we can offer to them. Are there some opportunities from in-house manufacturing to us? Are there opportunities where they are facing some delivery or quality issues with other manufacturers where we can move? So all of those things are day in, day out, which our sales team does. All of this team is based out of Delhi.
So, welcome, sir. I mean, the scale and your leadership in the...
Sorry,
sir. Yeah, all right. Please, I'll rejoin the queue.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Achal Maheshwari from Naredi Investments. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes. Yes, you're audible.
So, my first question is, can you give us some details on the large CDMO contract that we have secured? I specifically wanted to know what was the targeted therapy, if you can provide that detail, and where is the manufacturing facility located, and do we only have contract for a single product or is it a portfolio of multiple products?
Sure. So I'll quickly tell you, this is a European contract which we have done with one of the largest pharma companies globally. Right, this is a product in an oral liquid segment. This product is currently being manufactured in Europe across three sites, which for the European supplier, which we will be the sole suppliers, as I said, in starting April of 2027. This is a six-year commercial supply contract. And on your point on the product, this is a portfolio across multiple SKUs and packaging types. The base molecule here remains the same.
And so the manufacturing facility, where is that located?
In Haridwar, which we in October got the inspection for the European GMP.
Right. Okay. Thank you. And the second question I had is, can you give me some clarification on the quarterly interest charge that we are charging, which is 20 crores, based on the customer advance that we are getting?
So we are charging every quarter a notional interest of 19 crore rupees, and cumulatively for the 6 months, it'll be 38 crores. It's because of the advance that we've got for this contract.
And so when does this charge go away on our financials?
See, so I think it'll go away from the time we start supplying, and based on our supplies, how much of advances get suggested to go away. So any which way, this is a notional entry, right? So there isn't any liability as per the contract which needs to be paid. So over a period of time, as we supply, because part of the consideration they will pay us, and part would get adjusted from the advance.
Right. And sir, on your Salesforce Pollen API, so how much of our total revenue is dependent on this particular API?
So Cephalosporin APIs you're talking about?
Yeah.
So Cephalosporin APIs, largely we today 90% in India and 10% exports. These are exports to Asian markets only. Cephalosporin is almost 80% of our business, and 20-odd% is in the last fiscal we did from the general APIs, right?
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from Nanav Jay Modi from EIML. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sahil. My question was, see, we've taken multiple efforts to boost the growth, right, for our business. It was the European contract, then the Zambia contract, then our expansion in ROW. Now, when do you think our company will turn the corner and we'll start getting back on the growth path?
So can you please repeat, Jay, once?
Sure. So see, what I was saying is that we've taken multiple efforts to boost the growth, right, because of the API impact in our core CDMO business. Now, in your opinion, when do you think that the company is going to turn the corner and enter the growth phase?
As you said, so each contract has a timeline, right? So if we really look at it, 2026, we'll start seeing an additional 200 odd crores from the Zambian supply from India. Like 27, we'll have both the Zambian contract as well as the European initial supply, which we envisage should approximately be 300 plus crores for the annual revenue, right? So then we, once we go into 2029, maybe starting January, we will have let's say $40-50 million coming from the Zambian facility itself once it gets fully operationalized, right? So these are at different levers of point, but they'll start firing from the next year itself, right? Also the European, as we said, there are a couple of other products in pipeline which we think next year. So all of those things should start coming in as we move ahead. And while this is all as a additional growth drivers which were there, I'm also confident the domestic business will grow in 2026, driven by stricter enforcement, better volume growth, product pipeline being strong, API prices not degrowing, right? So all of those things in our core business should also do well.
Got it. But see, on the domestic front, now we've had a couple of incidents also, right? The cough syrup incident and then the regulation getting tighter, etc. Have we started seeing any tailwinds on that front? Are we seeing more outsourcing from our partners on this front?
Cough syrup, if I speak just the cough syrup, we have seen obviously a surge in the demand for the cough syrups, right? So that is there. Obviously, what we call is alternate vendor developments, AVDs. So that have started increasing with us. There are more number of customers who have started reaching out. There have been signs that people are willing to take a larger MOQs from us. So there have been obviously positive signs around all of those things. And maybe that's the result why of which we outperformed the market in Q1, we outperformed the market in volume in Q2, and Q3 also looks superiorly strong, right? So partly would also be led by all of those happenings that took place.
Okay. And see, given the current situation on API pricing, right, the continuous decline in pricing, so have we started negotiating a better markup with our clients, or that is not something that gets passed on very easily?
So that is something we do every 2-3 years, Jay, right? But specifically for this, because these are cycles of the business, if you understand it, right? So when the API prices go up, then also usually the margins remain at similar levels. When they are stable, then also when they are lower. So while we track it on a cost sheet basis, if something is excessively low, we ask for that specific product. But in general, moving up the margins, that usually takes longer times. And that's a work in progress, right? And it is every year. I do with 10 clients in this quarter, 10 clients the next quarter. So that is a work in progress, but specifically, I take a 15% margin, I move up to 20% for the timing. Usually that does not happen.
Got it, understood. And the last question was on the European contract. So along with this contract, have we seen traction with other clients? Are we in discussion with other clients to shift their manufacturing to India or expanding the portfolio of product that our existing client has given us?
So the 10 plus dossiers that the MD sir initially talked about, all of these were thoughtfully thought through in consultation with the global players, right? So either we'll manufacture, either we'll provide R&D services or in license, out license these. So all of these, we also had a very good presence in the CPHI Global in Germany recently, right? So where we got some good encouraging leads as well. So all of this is coming through, right, from Nordics, from Western Europe, from Eastern Europe, right? So we have good leads, I would say, at current stage across multiple geographies.
Okay. Anything to... okay. And what are our CAPEX plan for this year?
So, you know, we... As I mentioned earlier, that we are very mindful of our CapEx. Till now, for the first 6 months, our CapEx is close to 107 crores. We would probably, depending on the future requirement, we foresee just a similar or slightly lower CapEx in the next 6 months.
Okay. Okay. So around 150 crores, is it so?
No, I said 107 for the next 6 months. We could look at 125 watt crore more for the next 6 months.
Okay, got it. Understood. And lastly, what is the plan of the cash on the book? So are we actively looking at any inorganic acquisition?
Yes, Jay. So we are continuously looking at, obviously, one thing that we keep is it should be a profit-making businesses with decent margins. Acquired at a decent value, right? So this is what our hook remains. The areas which we focus are two. One, either it should give me a dosage form capability or it should give me an export market capability, right? So across both of the themes, we are looking at some. There is nothing very close which we would have it, but there are things in pipeline which we are actively working with bankers.
Okay, great. Thanks. That was all for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Lan of Pankaj Agarwal, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. My question is with respect to not current quarter, but traditionally our margin has not been so strong. Whereas some of the other companies in this specific quarter also, where we are seeing that API prices are down, for example, DVS, Client or Granules, they have performed much better in their margin performance compared to what ACOMS has been doing. So is it because of our traditional diversified business size or capacity utilization compared to other companies who have more of concentrated portfolio?
If I look at it, there are two ways to look. So I think you mentioned Granules. So there are a couple of companies who arbitrage the Indian presence when the prices are falling with the global businesses, right? So this is something we are also trying to see, that while we have attained leadership in the Indian domain, can we replicate across few markets globally? And it will also hedge us against if there's anything that happens in one market, right? So that is there. On the second front, both on the, as I mentioned, the new facilities which are coming up have some investment in EBITDA in this H1. And also capacity utilizations that we continue to improve. So we are working on gross margins, we are working on volumes, we are also working on cost efficiencies which we can build across functions and across production. Right, so all of this, we are mindful that there are some margin improvement areas we can honestly further more work as we continue to be a more agile organization. So this is what we are continuously improving on.
Okay, and second thing with respect to this European business that we are saying that the supply would start commence from 2027. And we are talking of several other participants also talked about the CapEx, etc. So do we think that our future cash flow coming from domestic business would still not be sufficient to compensate for CapEx loss or interest loss for capacity development for that European supply?
No, I think our positive cash flows from operations and continued business performance. So should have internal, if you look at our annual EBITDA and we will not have any interest expenses, we'll have a healthy free cash flow. Our cash flow should be good to maintain our CapEx. And if you look at our treasury is only growing. So we will be able to manage domestic. And if there is a need to expand European approvals to our plants, it will be done through our internal cash flows.
Understood. And my last submission is that if I look from 3 years to 4 years point of view, I don't see any major issue with ACOMS and the commentary of management with respect to the future business growth and even the current contract what we have won. It all looks promising. However, even though we have not been able to command the respectable valuation even after such a commentary, so do we need to do better jobs in terms of building the investor confidence through more of investor awareness or some sort of incentivization. I don't know. There could be multiple ways of enhancing the awareness of our commentary for better valuation.
So honestly, we, as you rightly said, we obviously can improve on all fronts, right? So while we make an effort to rightly communicate our story, our growth levers, where we have not really performed well with other growth levers, I think, and we continue to participate across multiple investment forums. If required, we'll again participate. We think from a point of both institutional as well as minority investments, and we are mindful that we have a cash surplus, inorganic dividends, everything is in thoughts. So we'll do it when the time comes, right?
Okay. And last thing, as a duty for being a retail investor, the regulatory front for this year had been dampening in terms of negative news. So if the company could avoid these kind of regulatory hurdles, probably this will improve the sentiment for remaining invested for longer term.
Sure, we'll take that into notice.
Sure, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, I'll now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining the call. We conclude the call at this point.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.